JAWS 12 is currently in beta. Those of you who have JAWS 11 are welcome to download it. Will they let other people use it if they don't have the beta?
At least as far as a demo.
There are some new things in JAWS. As is usual with Freedom Scientific, every time they do something, it is a potential cause for controversy. And this release is no exception. There are some people who are complaining that the things that they're doing have A, not fixed the myriad of bugs that are in JAWS, and B, that they don't want to have to pay for features that they're not going to use. One of the features they've put into JAWS 12 is they have implemented a system called Virtual Ribbon. I guess they got quite a number of complaints from people who were trying to use Office 2007, who had difficulty with navigating the ribbons, even though I think the screen reader companies have done a lot to try to make those ribbons accessible. JAWS now has a whole different system called the Virtual Ribbon, whereby, and right now, if you install JAWS 12 beta, that's on by default. That may actually not be on by default when the final release is shipped. But so they've made this whole alternative virtual ribbon system in which the arrow keys behave more the way you would anticipate them to, and it's just a JAWS-specific kind of system. I have mixed feelings. On the one hand, it's easier and it may be more efficient. On the other hand, it means you can never go to a computer that doesn't have JAWS and work with Office. The other thing is, one of the things about training people I find difficult is sometimes you have to distinguish what is the JAWS way of doing something and what is the regular way of doing something. And for somebody who may need sighted help or may need help from a trainer or whatever, who's not using this virtual ribbon system, I can see that as being a detriment. It's a mixed thing.
What does that virtual ribbon system do in a place where the ribbons have not been implemented? I mean, for instance, does it get out of the way so that you can just do things the normal way?
Well, there aren't any ribbons in Office 2003, for example.
Right, nor are there in XP.
So it wouldn't be in effect.
JAWS kind of knows when it. When
yeah,
it's
I haven't had any problems with it on, with XP. I haven't had any difficulty.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I haven't noticed any difference.
Right. Another change, a big change, is for those of you who have done a lot of work using the configuration manager. That's gotten very unwieldy over time. You had to remember which menu to go into to change certain things and whatnot. And now they've changed something. They have something called the Settings Center instead of the Configuration Manager. They've implemented something which in some ways is similar to the way Windows 7 does things. They've implemented a search field, and they've tried to consolidate as many options in one place as possible. And I would recommend this is something that you familiarize yourself with as soon as possible, because they have said in the podcast that I listened to that was done on FSCast, you can get to that by going to freedomscientific.com/FSCast and go to podcast 45. And one thing they said is that they're going to be putting more of the options, such as the options for adjust JAWS verbosity, you hit an insert V, even some of those options eventually are going to be making it into this setting center. So they're looking for kind of one place for everything. I brought up the setting center. When you used to go to the configuration manager, for some of you who may remember this, you'd use either an insert number row 6, or you could use an insert F2 and go to the configuration manager from there. Well, they've located the settings center in the exact same place by using the exact same keystrokes. So by default, you're put into a search box. And if you remember what something is called, you can type it in and it will find it for you. So you don't have to go hunting through the menus anymore to look for stuff. For example, say I wanted to know something about Braille. I could type in Braille. It gives you, it's 15 search results for Braille, and it gives you both the part of the settings that it's in as well as the state of it. I'll let you listen again.
Search results list box. Indicate call stand for Braille check web/html/dbfs/table. The move through or expand items to the arrow keys. Braille.
And then there's one for just Braille.
Contracted Braille input not checked. Braille check.
Contracted input Braille. So if I wanted to, I could just hit the space bar here and it would check it. So it means if you know what you're looking for, something about it, and it doesn't have to be the first word or the only word that you use.
Gradle mode structure, Gradle general. Active cursor follows Gradle display not checked.
So these are all the different options that have anything to do with Braille. Now you can select those by using a space bar. That's one way to use this.
Search box at E.
And I'm going to go back to the search box and say I put something like speech.
Three search results list box. Speech verbosity. One of. Active speech and sound scheme. Classic speech and sound scheme.
So it just tells you the three different things that have speech, and as you noticed, one of them did not have speech as the first word. So you can go in here and change things by using the search field if you know what you're looking for. If you don't know what you're looking for, you can go in and look at all of the settings.
Settings preview level 0, user host 1 of 20.
So this is set up in TreeView style, and if you may recall that with TreeViews, you right arrow to move into them, left arrow to open them, left arrow to close them. So I'm going to go into user.
User open 7 items.
And it says 7 items.
Settings preview level 1. Progress bar updates announcement off 1 of 7.
Progress bar announcements. Now that's one thing I have shut off. But if I wanted to change that, I would just be able to
announce all 2 of 7.
Hit the space bar and toggle through all of the options.
All 2 of 7. Typing echo off.
Let's say typing echo off. I have that off. Now if I want to know, if you don't know what some of these things mean, you can tab and you'll get help about this.
Read open yet. Clear this checkbox to have JAWS continues beaming information from the last command. Even if you press keys such as letters or numbers, pressing control will still interrupt speech. Using keystrokes to interrupt speech, please JAWS to begin beaming text from the most recent command. This checkbox is selected by default. Settings preview. Typing interrupt check.
Typing interrupt. So that's a description of what this does. So you don't have to go into the whole help system. If you want to make some changes in these areas and you don't know what something is, you can go tab to help and then read it with a say all command, and it will read it for you and tell you what the options are.
All you did was tab and then did say all?
I tabbed and did say all, and it puts you right into the help screen.
And then
what if you want to get out of the help and go back to...
Oh, you shift tab. You just shift tab. Yep. So I'm going to do it right now. Key repeat. It says checked. Now, if I tab...
Read open yet. When selected, a key that is held down is repeated. For example, if you are editing a document and need to insert a row of dashes to separate sections of text, just press and hold down the dash key to quickly type a series of dashes. Clearing this control prevents accidental repeating of characters. This checkbox is selected by default.
So that's kind of nice, too. So if you don't know what things, what different options do, it's a good way to get to that. So yeah, you can tab and shift tab. So I can tab back to the search box.
Settings preview.
Into the settings tree view, and then to the help.
Apply button.
And then if you want to make a change, you hit the apply and then go to OK. Another thing to mention is that the only place where you cannot put something in by using the space bar is if you have to insert a value. So say you wanted to change a setting that had a value associated with it. What you do there is you hit the F6 key, and then you get the traditional layout of radio buttons and so forth that you're used to in the configuration manager.
Level 1. Progress bar. Announcement. Announce all.
So that's the only time when you need to navigate. So I'm at progress announcement. So if I hit an F6 here.
User page. Progress bar updates. Announcement. Combo box. Announce all. 2 of 7.
Okay, now you're in a traditional combo box.
Typing echo off. Radio button check.
And then you could... And I just moved to typing echo by pressing a tab. So if you
progress
prefer the old way, you can do it that way. At least for now. And again, if you have to insert a value like a, you know, 100 or whatever, then you would have to input by doing the F6. When you start this settings center, it puts you by default into the search box. But if you shift tab back one,
application folder combo box, left console.
It gives you back to your application combo box. And here it lists all the applications for which you can make settings specific changes. Now, if you want the default,
application folder combo box, open window.
You have to open the combo box first with an alt down arrow. If you use the home key or if you hit the D, you'll get to the default file. So if you want to make changes to the default file, then that's where you would go. But there are, you know, for all other applications, for Internet Explorer, for example, you know, that's where the progress announcements are important. Your text processing options only work in certain applications. And there are like 175 different applications that are listed here. So if you want to make something very specific,
web conference plugin.
For example, the web conference plugin, if I wanted to make changes there, I could make it only for that and not for Internet Explorer itself. And if you can't make a change in a particular application, it will tell you that. That's very important. The other thing that's really very cool is if you make changes in the Settings Center, the last item is going to show, I think it's called Recent Changes. It's called Recent Changes. And so if you make changes, it will list for you the last 25 changes that you've made. And that's very cool, because if you're ever helping somebody or you don't remember what changes you made yourself, then I think this is a really helpful feature. I'm going through the tree view. I'm closing the tree view and
settings preview, left change settings.
Okay, if you hit the end key, if you get yourself out of the tree views and you hit the end key, that's going to go way to the bottom of all those. Remember, it said there were 20 different areas you could change. Well, the last one is settings change.
Read-only edit. This group contains the last 25 options that were recently changed for an application. When you select an item in the tree view, its corresponding settings appear. The configuration display pane on the right side of the settings center window. To change any setting, press F6 to move focus to the configuration display pane, and then use tab, arrow keys, and spacebar to move to select and make changes. Note that once this group has 25 items, the last setting in the list is deleted when another item is added. To remove an item from the list, select it. Press item from the list. Select the last change setting.
Okay, so I won't read the whole thing. So if I wanted to now, I could press F6, and I could go...
Settings, there is nothing visible at the configuration display pane at the moment.
So if I had any changes, I could then look at those changes, change the settings back, whatever. That, I think, is a wonderful, wonderful feature. Something that's was not in the podcast that I want to just play with for 2 minutes, because I just think for those people who do a lot of editing and writing and switching back and forth with people in Word in particular, is this new text analyzer. Okay, so I just typed in search. I went back to the search box and I typed in search. And I'm going to use first letter navigation.
Text, well, search results list box. Skip past repeated text on new pages. Check web/HTML. Text for a text processing. Editor wraps text. User reads text. Display text. Normal text. Text share link. Text analyzer.
Text analyzer, which is what I want.
Search and box cleaner. Settings preview. Text analyzer. Closed. 18/20. Text analyzer. Open. 4 items.
So I'm going to open the tree view.
Level 1. Text analyzer. 1-4. Indicate mismatched symbols checked. Symbols to check closed.
I'm going to go to text analyzer. I'm going to let you listen to what this does.
Read only edit. Use the radio buttons in this group to determine the type of alert used to indicate errors when editing or proofreading a document by line, sentence, paragraph, or say all command. Select indicate with sound to play a raw file when a formatting error is detected. Select speak count to announce the number of inconsistencies in the current text. Select describe inconsistency for a description of the error. The default setting is off.
So this text analyzer allows you, if you've made changes, and I often do this where I used to do this a lot, I'd be cutting and pasting different kinds of information in, and maybe not keep good track of the fact that certain things got bolded and certain things were of different fonts and whatnot. And this is a great way to be able, if it works well, and I haven't worked with it enough to know how well it works because I just literally started using this yesterday. But it does read the font, and you can do it so it makes a sound. It tells you where in the document. It'll say, you know, column 53 or whatever, if a font changes. And you can specify what kinds of changes you want to be designated. But for somebody who's doing a lot of editing, I think this could be a potentially very helpful tool.
I turned it on just to see what it would do, and it made this nasty little buzz sound, which in the right circumstances would be great. Unfortunately, I was reading email at the time. It wasn't even email that I was working on. It was somebody else's message, and I didn't really want to know. So what I've decided with that is that I probably will not turn it on in the default configuration, but I may turn it on in specific places.
Or you can go in quickly and turn it on and then turn it right back off, which is,
true.
I think, the other thing that's probably what I would do.
Do you mean like you could, let's say, need an alert document?
Yeah.
Yes. Do a sale and hear it?
Yeah.
Change out of it and things like that.
It will give you some indications. They have a new way. When you're on a web page, I'm going to go to Empowerment Zone, which is my favorite page to load.
Because there's so many links.
Because there's so many links.
Empowerment Zone dash helping individuals and communities.
Okay, I'm going to do a say all here.
Welcome to Empowerment Zone Left Parent version 3.9 Right Parent, the homepage of Jamal Madley. This site Left Parent http://www.empowermedicine.com. Right Parent offers information, ideas, and software related to my interests and the theme of empowerment dash helping individuals and communities achieve self-actualization and full citizenship.
Well, come on,
welcome
keep
to
going.
Empowerment Links Blank. This page is divided into the following sections. Heading level 1, table of contents, list of 7 items, bullet same page link, personal bullet same page link, consulting bullet same page link, politics bullet.
Okay,
bullet.
You get the idea. There are a gazillion links, and it says link at every single turn. So they have a new feature, and what is it called? Say all schemes, I think it's called. I'm going to go back to the I'm going to go back to the setting center, which I did by hitting the insert and the number 6, or the JAWS key and the number 6. I still call the insert, they call it the JAWS key. And I'm going to put in, what is it called?
What about say all?
It's say all, thank you.
Say all scheme to observe it. Read only edit. Use the options in this group to select and use a speech and sound scheme for say all read it. You can also use the add slash remove button in this group to add or delete a factory say all scheme to the list of available schemes. Say all scheme open, 2 items, level 2. Say all text with sounds.
Oh, here we go, yeah. Say all scheme. Okay, so here's your options here. You can either have it be no change so it just says what it normally would. You can have it with say all text with sounds.
Say all text only. Free of
or me. Say only text. So I'm going to switch
okay.
it to say all text with sounds.
Okay, button.
And I'm going to apply it.
Set
apply the change.
Now I'm going to
do a say all on the Empowerment Zone website.
Bullet employment, bullet technology, list of 8 items, messaging level 1, bullet front end, bullet general, bullet applications, bullet HTML.
Hear those clicks? So all those clicks are where there are links. But you don't have to hear it say link anymore. You can just hear it say, you can just make it click. And if I want to switch it,
select theme, say all text with sounds.
Now that's say all text with sounds. Now what if I just have it say
all text only?
Say all text only. Now I'm going to go up arrow a little bit, so we're going to be in the same area as we were.
Empowerment zone blank. Empowerment zone table of contents, list of 7 items, bullet personal, bullet consulting, bullet politics, bullet employment, bullet technology.
See, now it doesn't make the sound.
Bullet funding, bullet general, bullet application.
And it doesn't make the sound, and it doesn't say link. It still says bullet because he's got bullets on there, and this only works for links.
That's saying the word that is the link, but it's not saying link politics.
Right,
or something.
Right. It'll either just say politics, whatever. It'll just either say that, or it will. You can do it where it says, you know, it makes that clicking sound, which is where I will set it for myself, because I like that rather than hearing link every time. Or you can keep it the way it is.
Let's say you're in a newspaper article that's full of all sorts of clutters, photographs.
Yep.
Links that you don't care about in the middle and so on, it's still going to say those words. You couldn't.
Yeah, no, there's no.
You clean up the text.
Yeah, no, there's no way to do that. The other things they've done, they made some changes to research it. Those of you who are fans of Major League Baseball or NFL football or, you know, hockey, whatever. In particular, a lot of times if I went to use those, the research it feature that we talked about a couple of months ago, it would not work. And they actually found that, you know, some of these pages would change. And as soon as the page changed, it broke their capacity to gather the information. And I think that's another source of controversy. On the one hand, the research it is a nice little feature. You can get information pretty quickly sometimes. But it should not replace regular web surfing, web searching and whatnot. And I think some people are concerned that, you know, those people, I think particularly who have been using, you know, the web and searching quite fine, didn't really want this research feature and didn't want to have to pay for it. But some people are finding it quite useful. So anyway, they've changed the pages that they use, particularly for sports, and they're continuing to update that. And they also are redesigning their developers kit so that hopefully some other third-party developers are going to be able to do some work on it. I know Brian Hartshin has done one on recipes, for example, and has done one on Amazon UK. That's another thing they've done a little bit where research it's better than it was, at least on some sports-related sites. The other big change is Braille. They've now changed it so that JAWS will allow you to use your Braille display that has Braille input capability, will allow you to use that so that you can input in Braille from your Braille keyboard. You can navigate on the computer using just your Braille keyboard, and you can write in grade 2, and you can write documents and so forth. Because I couldn't demonstrate that, if you give me just a moment, I'm going to play a little bit of the portion of the podcast where this was described so you can get at least a little bit of a flavor of how it works. So what I did here is I'm opening up Safari, and I loaded the podcast that Jonathan Mosen and Eric Damry of Freedom Scientific did, and I've got it at the position where he's talking about the Braille input, and now I'm going to play it.
On my laptop, I have Control-Alt-W set up as a shortcut to open Microsoft Word. So how do I press that using the Braille input features of JAWS 12? Pressing PC-specific keys is done in two steps. The first step is to press .8 chord at the same time as keys representing a special key that you want. Let's go through that list of keys. .1 is used to represent function keys. More about that later. .2, the insert key. .3, control. .4, the Windows key, .5, the JAWS key, .6, Alt, and .7, Shift. Now remember, you press any of those keys in combination with .8 chord to get the keys you want held down. Now in this case, I want to press Control and Alt together, so I press .368 chord, .3 to represent Control, .6 to represent Alt, and .8 chord, because that tells JAWS we're pressing a special key. Now what this has done is effectively held down Control and Alt. I now press my second key, the one I want to be pressed while Control and Alt are held down. So to launch Word, that's W. I've pressed the key combination.
Document 1, Microsoft Word, edit.
And now Microsoft Word has come up, so that was launched all from the Braille display. So to recap, I pressed .1368 chord, and then second, I pressed W. Now that I'm in Microsoft Word, I want to bold some text. The bold command in Word, as you'll be aware, is Control B. We know that .3 represents the control key, so to turn bolding on from the Braille display, I press .38 chord, and then I press B. If I want to quit Microsoft Word, I need to press Alt-F4. .1 tells JAWS I'm going to press the function keys, and .6 represents the Alt key. So to tell JAWS I'm about to press Alt with a function key, I press .168 chord. Once JAWS has been made aware that the next key press is a function key, the letters A through L represent F1 through F12. So now that Alt and a function key has been indicated to JAWS, I can press D for F4.
Microsoft Office Word dialog. Do you want to save the changes to document 1? Yes button, Alt plus Y.
And I can press the letter N.
That gives you a flavor of what that does. And you can listen, there's another like 8-10 minutes of that with more examples and information. You know, again, I think it's an interesting thing. I think for those people who, you know, are really good Braille users and made Braille better than they type, you know, it may be a good solution. It's nice to see a company doing a lot with Braille support. There have been some bugs with it. Again, this is beta software, so, you know, it does install on your system in a separate folder. So if you have 11, you can still go back to 11. The other thing that they changed in JAWS 12 is that, you know, when you wanted to check for an update, you had to go in and check for updates manually. Well, now you don't have to do that anymore. There is an update, the JAWS update feature, which again, you can use that setting center to go in and change this so that it will automatically check for updates if you have an internet connection, and you can then choose whether you want to install the update or not. Now, one thing I asked and didn't get an answer to is, it's going to check for updates, but does it also let you know whether you're eligible to receive the update? And what happens if you're not?
Are you ever not eligible to receive an update?
Absolutely. If you have JAWS 11, and that's the last version for which you have an SMA, you can't receive JAWS, you can't.
So
you know what I mean?
Update and upgrade.
Well, there's, and that was my other question to them, which they haven't yet answered, is do they distinguish between version number upgrades, like, you know, 11 to 12?
And I would think they would.
Well, you would think they would, but I wonder about that, and so I'm waiting for answers to those questions. Say you had 12 and
12,
you couldn't
go
to 13.
13, yeah.
It's the same principle, just different numbers.
I guess what would happen is it might tell you the update was available, but once you got up there, it would then tell you that you weren't eligible to have it.
Well, I don't know. That's what I want to
know.
Because the one thing I would be afraid of is that it might say, oh, well, it might just install as a demo or something, and it might, I don't know what it would do to your previous version. That's why I think it's a good question to ask. Whenever somebody does something that's automated, automated where it'll tell you whether something's available or this or that. I always like to know how they do it and how it's implemented and whether there are any caveats to it. So I'll tell people if I get a response about that.
There is one maybe caveat to automatic updating, and that is that does tend to use up computer resources, and you may choose for that reason not to keep it on. I mean, that's true in any program that has automatic update checking.
My understanding is that it does it at startup, because you have to have an internet connection, and it does it at startup.
Startup has happened, you're not going to get any pop-ups anyway for the length of the time that you're running.
No. So I think they've done it the right way in that regard.
There was one feature that we won't be able to demonstrate, but I think is worth mentioning.
I was going to say, with one exception, which is the dual monitor support, which we can't really demonstrate here.
That wasn't the one I was thinking of.
But that's an important one. They now have worked it, and this is in conjunction with some work they've done with Magic, so that if you have partial vision and you want full screen mode for two applications simultaneously, you can use what they call dual monitor support, and that will allow you to have two applications full screen. And apparently that's something that they've gotten requests for.
They've actually implemented that for JAWS 11, so if you have the latest update for 11, you can do that if you want.
The one that I was thinking of, Amy, is one that I have not yet tried out in Word, but I think is going to be a very exciting one, and that is the ability to mark text independent of the Word bookmarks. Now, right now, if you're in Word and you want to bookmark some spot in the file, you can do it in Word, but that actually makes a change to the text in Word itself. With this feature, you will be able to make a bookmark that does not alter the Word text, but allows you to return to a spot in Word. So say you were at the beginning of a document and it said, see something on page 15. So you mark that spot, you go down to page 15, you look at the stuff that you want to be able to look at, and then with a keystroke that I don't remember now what it was.
Control-Windows-K, I believe, sets it.
Sets the mark, yeah.
The mark, and I think it's Control-K that goes to it per document.
But here's the place where it's really, I think, going to be useful. Along with that mark feature, once you've set the mark, you will then be able to go to a spot in the text, hit another keystroke, and select everything from the mark you set to the spot that you ended up at. Now, right now in Word, the only way that I know of to do that is using shift arrows and, you know, control shift arrows or control shift page down or stuff like that. But this will allow you to set selection in the same way that you do in a note taker, where you just read to the place you want to be at, or say use the find dialog to get to the place where you want to be, and then select from the mark that you set to the place where you are with one keystroke. And I haven't tried that yet to know how well it works, but it sounds like a really neat feature if they've implemented it right.
I've tried it some. I find inconsistencies. They allow you to set one per document. Where I played with it was with the Vibug notice, because there's some parts of the Vibug notice that are always the same. So I played with it with that.
Now, are these bookmarks dynamic, as in if I set a bookmark at, say, the fourth line, and then they add some text above it, or come back to the same word?
When you hit the keystroke, it comes back to exactly the same word. No matter where you are in the document. It'll go to the beginning of the word where you set the marker.
The word that I put the bookmark on, I type the document and that word is on the fourth line. And then I say, well, I want to add some stuff above it, like another three or four lines.
Mm-hmm.
Does it come back to where that word, or does it come back to the same spot in the document?
It comes back to the word.
To the word, okay, so it is there. Okay.
Once you've used that bookmark, can you then delete it and move it somewhere else?
Yeah, if you set another one, it automatically deletes it.
Okay.
Well, it would be awesome if they put more of them in there. You know, if you had the capacity to do more than one.
My other question is, does it only work in Word?
Or? Yes.
I can tell you, in BookSense, I use it all the time. It's on my Mac Air. It's a portable reader which reads Word documents, and I can put bookmarks, I can put a sound clip, I can... Mm-hmm. Do like two other things, so it really is very versatile.
I think it would be great if it could be implemented with other things. That's one of the things I use the JTools for, because you can do all that bookmarking stuff much better with JTools.
But does it piggyback on the Word document, those settings, or they go with the computer you're using?
It goes by the computer that you're using.
And
JTools, it's authorized for your JAWS serial number, and it would be on the whatever computer you use to set the bookmarks would be the one where it had, because it literally creates files that it uses to associate with documents or internet web pages.